a lot of talk of trails, the need for trails.
A new government group wants more trails and more events in Haines, and dozens of tourists stranded during the final week of the season. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. A shooting in Haines Junction has a Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer in a hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Sergeant Don Rogers says officers responded to a report of a break-and-enter at Madley's General Store early Monday morning in Haines Junction. Police found a suspicious vehicle, and as they pursued it, shots were fired in their direction. CBC reports the RCMP arrested two suspects at about 10 a.m., and that one of them is well known to police. The injured officer is at Whitehorse General Hospital for treatment, and police are also looking into break-and-enters in Canada Rural Residential Subdivision on the highway south of Haines Junction. The Hainesboro Assembly decides Tuesday night whether or not to authorize an agreement to demolish the rest of the old Haines School. The borough is currently seeking bids on the project, which would take down the remaining part of the vacant building on Main Street. According to a memo from architects who performed an analysis to determine the building's usefulness, there was a great deal of community support for a community facility there, but the building has several serious deficiencies. The analysis included interviews with members of the public. The report goes on to describe the beneficial features of the facility, including its central location, its gym, and available square footage. However, the report, available at the Hainesboro website with Tuesday night's meeting packet, also notes that the building would require a comprehensive renovation and that the spaces of the building are not well suited for the town's desired uses. Specifically, the gym is smaller than a regulation basketball court, the floor-to-floor height is low, and there is limited daylighting. Also, the memo states there is no Main Street access, and the simple construction style does not keep sound from traveling through the floors and walls. Ultimately, the architects conclude that although the building could be renovated to fit a recreation center and borough offices, construction would be expensive and comprehensive, and the resulting spaces would be either, quote, too small, too low, or too loud. It also says, quote, although it would be nice to reuse the existing facility, it's hard to imagine that the resulting project would not be compromised and low functional, end quote. On Tuesday night, the Assembly will also consider a recommendation from the Planning Commission to allow off-premises signs as a conditional use. The Assembly had first voted against the ordinance, then reconsidered it and postponed the matter until more information came from the Planning Commission. The ordinance would allow for signs such as the sandwich boards that direct traffic to a business a block or so away from where the sign sits. The Haines Assembly meets in their next regular meeting on Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. Haines' new Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee is interested in talking about the old school building, trails, and events, among other topics. The recently formed group held their first meeting last Tuesday and elected officers Marnie Hartman as chair, Ron Jackson as vice chair, and youth member Logan Simpson as secretary and the member who will work with the community youth development. Darcy Colbeck, Jessica Kaiser, Jennifer Talley, and Melanie Zimmerman were also appointed to the committee. Assemblymember Damon Hoffman is liaison from the Borough Assembly.
I guess the main thing would be that there was a lot of talk of trails, the need for trails by the members, and more events.
In May, the Haines Assembly reestablished the group in committee form 3 years after a Parks and Rec Advisory Board came to an end. The group of 7 mayor-appointed Haines residents will advise the borough in operation and maintenance of parks and recreation programs, facilities, and activities. The group will next meet Wednesday, October 12th at 6 p.m. in Assembly Chambers, then plans to meet monthly. The meetings are open to the public.
I think on the next agenda, there's going to be a discussion about, you know, an agenda format. There's going to be a discussion about the old school and a discussion about the recreation in the comprehensive plan.
Members of the public, as well as Borough Mayor Jan Hill and Manager Mark Ernest, were also at the meeting. Again, Assemblymember and Committee Liaison Damon Hoffman.
It was basically just sort of trying to figure out how it all works. You know, a lot of people hadn't been on a board like that before. Most people were just asking sort of procedural questions and policy questions and things like that. It's gonna take shape here, and the next meeting will be pretty productive.
Public hearings on Southeast Alaska transportation options began Monday. They'll take place throughout Southeast Alaska starting in Juneau. Some of the plans up for review would drastically change ferry service or increase road mileage in the region. Local hearings are scheduled for October 5th in Skagway and October 6th in Haines. An open house starts it off from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., followed by a public meeting at 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Imagine a ferry system with no service to the lower 48 or across the Gulf of Alaska. How about one where vessels operate until they wear out and aren't replaced? Or one with an expanded highway system connected with shuttle ferries but no mainliners? Those are among the six options proposed for the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan. They will be presented and discussed in about a dozen public meetings over the next month in the region's main cities. Transportation Department Southeast Planning Chief Andy Hughes says it's an important part of preparing for the future.
Some of the alternatives reduce existing excess vehicle deck capacity. Some alternatives increase reliance on roads over longer ferry routes. Some focus on comfort over service, and others service over comfort.
Hughes says ferries carry about 43% of traffic within the region, and planes carry the rest. But only about 8% of travel to Seattle is via the ferry, and only about 2% of cross-Gulf travelers use the Marine Highway.
Looking at those figures, we kind of have to ask ourselves, well, how important is it to the residents of Southeast Alaska to improve and retain some of those ferry lengths versus improving the frequency of service between communities within the region?
So one of the options eliminates Bellingham and Whittier sailings, along with Yakutat. Another replaces several mainliners with smaller Alaska-class ferries, which lack staterooms. Yet another calls for no major changes or improvements, which would be an issue for older ships.
As one of those vessels reaches a point where a failure to the point where it's too expensive for us to deal with it, that vessel ceases to be serviceable, the system contracts, and the level of service that we provide within and between regions declines.
Another option maintains what's there now, keeping ferries, roads, and airports about the same. Yet another changes ferry schedules based on ridership history. All, except the no-action alternative, cost a lot of money, from $1.5 billion to $2.2 billion over the next 20 years. That's a problem because the plan estimates the region will only have a third to less than a quarter of those totals for transportation projects over the same time period. But Hughes says it makes sense to plan beyond what's affordable.
We need to have a program that also exceeds what our target is, just so that we're in line to compete successfully for the available funding opportunities as they arrive.
But in reality, federal dollars, a large part of road and ferry funding, could shrink instead of grow for at least part of that time. The first meeting is in Juneau. The last one is in Angoon. Details are on the Department of Transportation Southeast Region website. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Again, local hearings are scheduled for October 5th in Skagway and October 6th in Haines. An open house starts it off from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., followed by a public meeting from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Go to our website for links to more information. One of the last cruise ship days of the season turned out to be one of the longest for some visitors. Rough weather stranded nearly 70 cruise ship passengers in the Upper Lynn Canal late last week. Both the local ferry and state ferry remained docked in Haines Wednesday because of strong winds, meaning passengers from ships docked in Skagway were stuck. Some of them even had to watch their cruise ship leave them behind. The Alaska Marine Highway's Malaspina, docked in Haines, took the passengers on board until they were clear to sail. Other passengers were flown to meet their ships elsewhere. They were among the very few cruisers who've gotten a little more than they were promised out of Haines.
Yes, exactly. They got a wonderful evening in Haines.
Tanya Carlson is Haines Tourism Director.
For the passengers that couldn't come back because of the winds, some of them overnighted on the Manunuska and waited till it sailed for Juneau the next day. to meet up with their cruise ship. And depending on the ship, from what I understand, some were flown to Glacier Bay, others down to Ketchikan.
She says the passengers were from Norwegian Cruise Lines and Princess Cruises, and possibly another ship. She believes Princess, possibly others, covered the costs of some flights.
A lot of times if a mishap happens where a tour or somebody from a tour just can't make it back before sailing, it's usually up to the tour operators to get them to their next destination to meet the cruise ship.
The last local cruise ships of the season have come and gone, officially ending the 2011 tourist season for Skagway, Hanes, and Conquan. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for his help with this report. KHNS Local News, news about Skagway and the Chilkat Valley, produced right here at home, comes on three times a weekday. But you can get your hometown news anytime you want on your own computer if you go to khns.org.